The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Patsy McGarry is with me of the Irish Times, because some people might have seen this story emerging this afternoon that now almost 300 men allege that they have been abused at either Blackrock College or in the grounds of the Associated Primary School, Willow Park. Patsy, what more can you tell us about this?
Well, this is the latest installment, I suppose, in this report that's going back really to November 2022, when the documentary was done with Mark and David Ryan, those two men who've been abused themselves at Willow Park, and went public for the first time about their abuse. And simultaneously, there was a press conference involving three men who themselves had been abused as well. They were from the class of 1979 at Blackrock College. And according to their own figures, approximately a fifth of the 120 boys in that year were this is a similar story to what had begun, if you like, with Belvedere College. In March 2021, Belvedere went public, or the Jesuits did, about the abuse of boys there by Father Joseph Marmion. Within 2 weeks, 40 men had come forward explaining or claiming that they had been abused by him. That figure currently is around 115, and it involves 44 Jesuits going back to 1945, not just in Belvedere College, but primarily there, also involving Clongowes Wood and Crescent College in Limerick. Here we have a parallel exercise with Blackrock College and Willow Park. There are other Spiritan schools like Rockwell College and Temple Law College in Dublin, but really the focus here has been primarily on Blackrock College. So the figures are up 290 so far, 44 Jesuit priests who had taught there have been accused of abuse, and 12 lay teachers there as well. In fact, there's a photograph from Willow Park in 1980 of the staff there, and three of those staff we now know to have been abusers of boys.
I mean, the numbers, despite maybe a sense that we would be inured to the shock of hearing these numbers after things like the Ferns report and the Ryan report, and as you say, other allegations that have been made in other schools, the idea that, like, you know, a fifth of students in a single year abuse, or almost 300 today, I mean, it speaks, Patsy, to a kind of an almost industrial level.
There is no doubt about abuse. Kieran, what is shocking and surprising about this is not alone that it happened, but that it was successfully hidden for so long. And I have a particular reason for saying this when it comes to the Spiritans, or the Holy Ghosts as they used to be. In 2012, 12 years before that documentary involving Mark and David Ryan, there were stories about abuse by Henry Maloney, a priest, and another father, a priest, Father Arthur Carraher, at St. Mary's in Rathmines, which is also a Spiritan-run school. Henry Maloney had been moved from there when he was convicted of abusing two boys there. And he was moved to Sierra Leone, where he abused. He was moved briefly back to Blackrock, got out of there very, very quickly, to Rockwell College, where he abused again. And in fact, his most recent conviction was in connection with Blackrock College about 3 or 4 years ago. In all of this, there was never a whisper about abuse in Blackrock. Not a whisper until that documentary took place, and suddenly the floodgates opened and all these men come forward. The Spiritans have set up a restorative justice program to help them with counselling and otherwise. They're talking today about a redress program for them. The Jesuits have been ahead on that. They've set up a restorative justice program to help men who have been abused at Belvedere, Clongowes, Gonzaga and Crescent College in Limerick. And they have begun paying out compensation. In fact, they've paid out almost $7.5 million to, I think it's about 74 men so far. So, I mean, there's a parallel going on here, but these are just two of the better known privately run schools in Ireland. You have such schools run by the Dominicans, the Vincentians, Castleknock College, for example, the Vincentians. You have Temple Law College, run by the Cistercians, the Carmelites, rather, and it gets complicated. And the Benedictines as well. And to really get to the bottom of this, the Minister for Education, Norma Foley, in March 2023 of last year, set up a scoping inquiry headed by Senior Counsel Mary O'Toole to basically talk to abuse survivors about the type of state inquiry there should be into what went on in all these privately run schools. And she has yet to make recommendations to the minister, who will then announce what sort of inquiry that will be. And potentially it could be enormous. I did a bit of research myself and found that in 19 Diocesan College, Every diocese, Catholic diocese in Ireland, has its own junior seminary or diocesan college. Over 44 priests have been accused of abuse in those 19 colleges around Ireland. And there are 11 Protestant-run, privately-run secondary schools. And none of those responded to my queries, even though I went back again and again and again. I'm just saying this to give an indication of the scale of what may be ahead for such a statutory inquiry.
Yeah, the scale. I mean, those numbers, again, they're enormous and they haven't lost their shock value, and it's possibly a good sign that they haven't lost their shock value. But despite Ferns and Ryan and all the other abuse scandals that we have been exposed to over recent years, I think people would have stopped in their tracks today when they would have seen that news, that the figure now almost 300. And you're right to remind us, Patsy, as well, of that claim made previously that one fifth of an entire class quite possibly abused in that school. William is on the line. William reached out to us here on the show. And William, you spent time working on the grounds, but as a teenager there, is that right?
Yes, I did. I started around 73, 74, staff. It was through agencies where they brought in staff. Through agencies, maybe staff in towns that mightn't have had schooling or mightn't have had jobs or something, and you had somewhere to go. It was a Molly Hayes or Molly Hayes agency from Carlow, which I went to Blackrock College. We were brought up in a bus, a minibus. So we started off as staff, waitering and stuff like that. But then we had little cubicles. That's why we were sleeping in little cubicles and stuff. So after maybe a year or so, I started getting abused by, we call them all priests. It was actually a brother, you know. I was raped about 5 times by him. And eventually then, to get away from him, I moved to the castle of Blackrock College. And I got away from him, and everything was going grand for a while. And then the groundsman died. And I got the groundsman's job, which covered Willow Park fields as well, where you had to cut the grass and lawns and mark the fields for rugby and all that. And then the groundsman at Willow Park, the caretaker at Willow Park, started to abuse me. So I was raped about 11 times, about 10 times, and sexually assaulted once at a tractor. And that was my life in Blackrock College.
Oh, William, I'm slightly and lost for words.
So I was staff. We were classed as dirt. So, and it was the reason we didn't know any other abuse was going on, because everyone was told you wouldn't be listened to. You'd be called queer. You'd be called names. You'd be put out the next day. And if I was put out on the street of Blackrock College, I'd know where to go. So I had to put up with it.
You were trapped.
I was trapped. I had nowhere to go. If I was put out the gate of Blackrock College, I'd look up and down the rock road and I'd have nowhere to go. I wouldn't know what way to turn. Eventually, anyway, I met a girl who used to come in and give us a bit of stick when we were kicking ball down at the end, her and a few other girls. And I walked around Blackrock College with her, just to kind of held her hand, to kind of show them. I wasn't courting her or anything like that. We just walked around, and it was to show them that I wasn't like that, you know, to try and let them see I wanted a girl, a woman, you know. Yeah. I wasn't in love with the girl at the time. Eventually, over time, she got pregnant and we got married in 1977, and I was still in the castle, still living in the castle, in the college. And I moved over then about 82, because we got a house, you know, in Dunleary, in Dublin. And I was out of the college at that time, but everything was kept quiet, and it was until all this stuff started coming out. These two lads you were talking about decided to come out with it, and it opened the door for everybody. But it's hard to be believed when you're staff. You know, students kind of get believed a bit quicker, you know, because they were. But I used to keep dinners back for Hugo McNeil, the Irish fullback. He used to come in to me after training with Father Boyle, and he'd say, how you will? He said, what have you got for me? I'd say, there's a couple of lads didn't come in. I have 4 dinners here for you. I help build them up. You know, yeah. There was a few good times as well. But there was a lot of abuse. You know.
When did you first tell anyone? Was it after stories emerged a couple of years ago?
Well, after the stories emerged, you see, it's a long story, and I got into a little bit of trouble because I wanted to come out with what happened to me. And I had no way of, I didn't know how to bring it out because I didn't think I'd be believed because it was drummed into you that you wouldn't be listened to. And I'd done something wrong. And when I got into a bit of trouble over that, I was able to come out because I knew there was people I was going to be taken serious. And I came out with it then. And I spoke to Rachel, Detective Kilpatrick from Dundrum Garda Station. And I done a 16-page interview with her. And I have a solicitor working and a barrister working on stuff, but I'm still finding this difficult because they don't get back to me too often, and I'm still finding it very hard to kind of be believed.
And has...
I've layered the family and everything. I have 5 girls, 2 sons, and I've had 21 grandkids. And I've got on with my life a bit, but I was always quiet. I was always holding back something.
Yeah.
I was held back. And when this started coming out, around 21, 22, 19, I just flipped, you know, 2022, something flipped in my head. You know, because I knew there was people starting to talk about it, and it was starting to come out. I was reading stories. You know, I read a thing about Barry Andrews, what he said, you know. He said that they used to whisper in your ear, you wouldn't be listened to, and you'd be put out, and you'd be called names. And they drummed this into you every time they abused you.
And has the fact that you've come out with it at all, William, I mean, has that helped you in any way to kind of process it or deal with it?
No, I was suicidal. I was suicidal when I came out. And I used to bring a rope around with me in the boot of the car. The people who helped me is Inside Matters in Capel Street. They put me on the right track, and they were from my own mind. And I also spoke to, doing things with 1 in 4 counselling on the Keys in Dublin. And I'm still involved in that.
Yeah.
And that has helped me.
Okay.
They're the only ones that has really reached out to me.
Well, listen, William, I think lots of people would be relieved to hear that there's people there around you, helping you.
My family's around me.
And your family. And listen, William, that family and those 21 grandkids, I mean, they're your legacy, not what happened in that school, you know? That's easy for me to say, but, you know, they really are.
They never knew anything. They knew nothing, you know.
Yeah.
They know now, but they didn't know anything. And it wasn't so much of a shock because it happened so long ago for them, you know, and they knew the hard thing was coming out, you know. So it's hard because we were young, we were young teenagers. And we thought we were doing well going to get to learn to be waitering and stuff like that, you know.
No, you were kids. You were kids in their care, William. That's what you were. You were children in their care.
They were
and
they were supposed to look after us.
That's what happened to you.
But they didn't. We got slapped up well, rubbish food and everything. We didn't get what the students got. We got rubbish food and stuff, you know.
Well, listen.
We just got cold stuff slapped up to us and everything. It wasn't right. And if you kicked up about it, you know, you were told, you know, you're getting food, you know.
Yeah, you should be thankful for it. Listen, William, I can't kind of stress this enough. We appreciate so much you reaching out and sharing.
I don't get involved with other students that were abused because I don't know how to meet up with them. I've no contact to how that they might be meeting and having meetings and talking. And because I'm a staff, the students kind of have a student group. I think there was something said. I done the scope and inquiry as well. I done that.
There is groups, but listen, what we'll do, William, is we can reach out to some of the other survivors about the kind of support groups that are there, and given that common experience, I don't think the fact that, you know, some were students and some were staff. You were all kids. I mean, that's what we just have to remember ultimately. All kids.
Exactly.
And that's what everyone in the story has in common. Thank you so much for speaking to us, William. And thank you to Patsy McGarry from the Irish Times as well. If anybody listening to this has been affected, you can call 1-4-01-66-2407-0. That's 01-66-2407-0. Or you can call the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre. They've got a national helpline, 1-800-77-8888.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.